Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Step.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You are on with this due time with Pastor Steph. Yes, it's Shanti here again. I get to be with you yet another morning. How are you? Unfortunately, Pastor Steph still feels a little under the weather, so she is getting a little more rest and relaxation while the Lord is entrusting me once again to assist you with getting your morning started off right and joyfully. It is Freestyle Friday, y'all. Oh my goodness, we are at the end of yet another week already. Like, it just turns a new calendar year, and yet we're already here at the end of yet another full, or I'm praying everyone had a full, prosperous, purpose-driven week, safe, relaxing week. Were you on with us yesterday morning? If you weren't, you have to make sure you go back and listen. Yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday, and the content God provided for us and the conversations he provided for us was so on point. Yesterday we started talking about our spiritual health and how to identify it and what it means. We're actually going to continue that this morning, but you have to go back and get it started from yesterday morning. And we spoke about the MAGA World, Make America Great Again group. That's the group that is in support of Trump, and how they were defending Nebraska Senator's husband when he refused to shake Vice President Harris's hand at the swearing in of his wife. Now, this was his wife's third term. This is her third time being sworn in to be the Senator of Nebraska. And while he was holding the cane with one hand and holding the Bible with another hand, and after the swearing in, well, it started before the actual swearing in, actually. You have to go and watch the video because his whole body language was just so dismissive and disrespectful. Oh, my goodness. But Kamala, she handled it with grace, a lot better than a lot of us would have. Amen. And you have to hear the feedback from the Z-Tom crew regarding that yesterday. It was hilarious. On point, but hilarious, okay? We also spoke about the stowaways. Yeah, no, the people who hide on a plane or on a ship so that they don't have to pay to travel. Well, unfortunately, earlier this week, there were two men found deceased when a flight from right-hand JFK in New York City landed in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And they were dead by the time they landed there because they decided to hide in the wheel well. Yes, yeah, I know what part of the airplane the wheel well is. That's where, after the airplane takes off down the runway, the wheels collapse and they go up into the, yeah, that's where they were hiding. For at least, well, the flight alone is about 2.5 hours. You still have to factor in the time that they had to sit in there while the plane was boarding and who knows how long they were sitting on the runway before it actually took off. It was just a mess. It was just a mess. So, of course, you know, needless to say, and actually, like Pastor Steph said, once one thing happens in one area, it becomes a trend. This just happened 2 weeks after someone else's body was found in that same predicament. And over the holiday season that we just had last month, there was a woman who got arrested for doing the same thing. So she made it, but in handcuffs. And Vivian informed us that this was this woman's second time doing this. So obviously the penalty is not at all great. But they need to do something about that before they have more bodies. You know, they may not stop until they get sued. Because somebody's going to be able to sue them for being silly enough to hide in the real world. We also spoke about a post that we came across, which read, "A child's first enemy is an unhealed parent." Oh, the feedback on that was phenomenal. We had some quick transparency moments with the Due Time crew. A lot that stood out. What are your thoughts on that? A child's first enemy is an unhealed parent. Ooh. Then we got into our topic of conversation when I came across yet another post that was titled, 10 Things the Devil Will Not... I'm sorry, 10 things the devil would do to ensure your marriage is destroyed. And, oh, was that broken down? Or was that broken down? Each tip that was given on how the devil ensures to destroy your marriage. You have to go back and listen. So it was just, the way the conversation flowed yesterday was just so on point. But now it's Friday, and we get to get into some celebrity news and get to talk about what we always talk about, what we want to talk about. Still structured, but Pastor Steph loves to deem this Celebrity Friday as well. So we're going to stick to the blueprint that she gives. So make sure you go and grab that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And we are going to tap into some PSAs. Make sure you listen because these are real informative. Okay, we will be right back.
I can't breathe. I have migraines, numbness, weight loss. I live with it every day. The illness that I'm suffering from is an anxiety disorder. And it deserves to be treated like any other illness. But it's not.
People can experience relief from their symptoms and support for their recovery. Less than half of the adults in the U.S. who need mental health services get the help they need.
People experiencing mental health conditions frequently face negative labeling, bullying, and even discrimination.
Some people describe stigma as shame that can be felt as a judgment.
Brave the stigma. Don't be afraid to get help. We are the CAA.
January is National Blood Donor Month, and Nine News is teaming up with Bonfils Blood Center to encourage you to donate. Blood donations decline by up to 20% during winter months, but the need for blood is constant. Help give hope to those in need and give blood today.
I fought for this country.
I stood up for our freedom.
Now, they call me a hero.
But the true heroes are the people who donated blood and saved me.
And me.
And me.
Perfect strangers donated the blood that saved my life.
They saved my daddy's life.
Now that I'm back in Florida, I want to ask you to do the same.
Become a true American hero. Donate blood today and save someone's life.
Again, making sure that we are paying attention to the awarenesses that follow each month. January is National Blood Donor Month. And as we just heard in the PSA, how easily you can become a hero and step in and save someone's life when you make sure you take care of your body enough to where you're able to donate your blood so that you can save a life. All these health tips that the Lord gives, Pastor Steph, to give to us each and every morning on what to make sure we consume, what to make sure we do not consume. Again, not just for our bodies, it's so it can benefit someone else. Okay, and making sure that we're staying on top of our mental health. Not only our mental health, but that we're able to identify the signs and triggers in those close to us. People are relying on us to stay attention to them. Just like we rely on others to stay attention, to pay attention, I'm sorry, to pay attention to them the same way we rely on those close to us to pay attention to us. And it's a mental health thing. When you understand the real definition of it, you are able to stay on point with it. Okay, so yesterday we went over our spiritual health and what it means. Our spiritual health is our connection to God and how we use that connection to gain our purpose, our hope, and our peace. Okay, and yesterday we went over a few traits of spiritual health. So really quick, we're going to do a quick recap. That's having a sense of purpose in life, being able to spend that one-on-one time with yourself in reflection, and with God, of course, because you can't point things out within yourself. You're never accurate. Having a clear sense of right and wrong, being able to explain why you believe what you believe, having reserved and thoughtful emotional reactions, being able to feel and express emotions when needed, having daily practices to process emotions, hardships, and changes. And again, that is what mental health is. Having the ability on a daily basis to process your emotions, process the hardships that you go through, and process the changes. One thing that is guaranteed in this life are changes. Something is always guaranteed to switch up on us. We switch up on ourselves. How do you deal with when you switch up on yourself? That's a good question. You know, it's actually something that the Holy Spirit pointed out to me. I love to point out how I hate when people, you know, at 3 o'clock you're one way and then at 3:03 you're another way. At 3 o'clock you rock with me, but then at 3:03 you get off of me, meaning you don't want anything to do with me. And the Holy Spirit has to bring up, that's you. You do the same thing even for yourself. Definitely do it to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. We definitely do it to Jesus. So we have to make sure that we are able to maintain these hardships and these changes. Okay, when we think also about our spiritual health, while we're focusing on being able to identify the traits, we also have to be able to identify poor spiritual health. You know, what are the traits of poor spiritual health? And some of those markers, traits, include resentment, fear, embarrassment, avoidance, poor boundaries, insecurity, discord, anger, anxiety, negative self-talk, a racing mind at bedtime, shame, guilt, and uncertainty. Those are a whole lot of things to be focused on. It's a lot to be focused on. The Holy Spirit has me big on definitions. So real quick, we're going to break each of these markers down so that we can ensure that we have a thorough understanding of what each of these bad traits are. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us make room for him to point out. You know, we read a verse yesterday based off of one of the traits on having good spiritual health, and it was speaking on God's word showing us how rebellious we are. You can only be shown that if you allow God to give you a high level of humility. Okay, so when we talk about poor spiritual health, including resentment, resentment being a complex emotion that can be described as a combination of a few things, of anger, disappointment, and disgust. You can feel resentment because you may feel like you're being taken advantage of. You can feel like you're being put down, dismissed, or ignored. You can feel inadequate, overlooked, or unheard. You can have unrealistic expectations. Oh my goodness, that is just expectations. The expectations we have of other people are so unrealistic. And it took me a long time to understand how the expectations I had for people who were supposed to do what they were quote unquote supposed to do, that was unrealistic. Anytime you expect someone who does not have the ability, Anytime you expect someone who you feel should be doing what they should be doing. So let's, for example, let's say a parent. Everyone has an expectation of their parent to be a parent. But just like our post yesterday, unhealed parents become their child's first enemy. So can I really expect you to be a good mom or a good dad when you do not position yourself to learn how to be a good mom or a good dad? That then slides into the unrealistic expectation. That's like expecting a newborn to know how to read. They haven't been positioned to learn how to read. They're incapable of learning how to read. Their minds have not developed yet in order to even grasp the idea of reading. What is reading to a newborn? They just do what's, a newborn just does what comes naturally. You don't have to teach a newborn how to drink, whether they're being breastfed or bottle fed. You don't have to teach a newborn how to cry. You don't have to teach a newborn how to use the bathroom. You know, how to release themselves. You don't have to teach that. That comes natural. And unfortunately, a lot of these dysfunctions that come from a lot of the parents are natural. Ooh, look at the Holy Spirit breaking stuff down this early Friday morning. Yes. Okay, another cause of resentment is maintaining relationships with people who prioritize their own needs. So those are just a few causes of anger, disappointment, and disgust. Again, resentment is a reaction to feeling mistreated or wronged by someone or something. Okay? That was just one of the tips. I'm sorry, one of them offered. Fear. That's a big one. Definitely speaks on that. Let's go for the biblical definition of fear. A complex emotion that can have both beneficial and harmful meanings. Now, we understand that the Lord speaks of fearing him, and it's not fearing God like you fear the boogeyman, but it's having that respect. Like, I ain't messing with God because I know who he is and what he's capable of, even though he never gives us what we really deserve when it comes to that punishment realm of seeing his wrath. Because no one's wrath is greater than God's, because he is in control of everything. Now, when we talk about that fear that is crippling, that fear that is, hold on, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. And immediately my mind goes to the verse where it says, love casts out all fear. Because real love does not cause pain. Real love is not a threat. This street love is a whole lot of pain and threats in this street love. Whole lot going on. Okay? And yet, we still run towards it. We gotta get it together, y'all. What's the next one that they speak of? Embarrassment. Again, these are the markers to poor spiritual health. So we went over resentment. We went over fear. We are now on embarrassment. A feeling of discomfort or self-consciousness that can arise from different situations. Embarrassment can come from making a mistake publicly. Embarrassment can come from saying something inappropriate. Ooh, I just made me think of a verse. Hopefully I remember it after I read these last two. Embarrassment can stem from worrying about how others are seeing you. Embarrassment can stem from being hurt, being put down, or being bullied by others. Saying something inappropriate reminds me of a verse that I have to meditate on from time to time, and I believe it is Psalm 141, verse 3. I'm looking it up to make sure. Yes, it is. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because this is the version that I need for me. Psalm 141, 3, Amplified version. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, to keep watch over the door of my lips, to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. When you are someone who is very outspoken and or opinionated, well, when you're opinionated, you're outspoken. A lot of times you say things, you be right. It's not like you're wrong. But it's not always the appropriate thing to say. And a lot of times your words can do a lot more harm than they do good. Had to learn that the hard way. That's why I had to memorize this verse in this version. Because the other versions don't have the tail end of to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. So there's a whole lot of embarrassing moments for me. And the Lord is so good because I don't think, or maybe they have and they just didn't say anything, but it wasn't a whole lot of, it didn't seem like people really caught on too much to what I said. And sometimes it's like, not so after, like as soon as I say it, I'm like, ooh, why did you say that? Again, I was right. I wasn't wrong. But it was not the appropriate thing to say, whether it's because of who was around or because the setting or the conversation just was not ready to handle. And these are actual things, you know, like this is for real. So if you're outspoken, if you're opinionated, don't embarrass yourself by saying things that are inappropriate. Okay, but embarrassment, yes, is another sign of unspiritual health. Okay, where are we? Avoidance. That's a good one. Let's see here. Avoidance is the act of staying away from something or someone, of course, kind of self-explanatory. It can be a natural way to cope with pain or trauma, but it can also be harmful if it prevents you from doing important things. And that is why avoidance is set as a marker for poor spiritual health. Because you avoid to the point where now you're not willing to do the work God has for you to do. Now you're not willing to say the things that you need to say. That's just as bad as saying things you shouldn't say. You gotta understand what's happening, people. We have to understand what's going on. We have to make sure that we're maintaining this healthy balance between the two of not saying too much and not being too silent. When avoidance is helpful, avoiding a dangerous situation, avoiding injury. When avoidance is harmful is when it prevents you from doing important things, when it's used too frequently, and when it's used to the exclusion of other strategies. Okay, so I know there have been a couple of people who have said that they would rather avoid things, and a lot of it comes from trauma. You know, they've been through something where maybe they went about, you know, addressing or something, and it just didn't go right. So now they rather avoid any and everything. Again, we need that balance, y'all. We need that balance. Okay, what's another marker? Poor boundaries. That's an interesting one. Poor boundaries. A lack of clear personal limits in relationships, often manifesting as an inability to say no, overcommitting to others' needs, sharing too much personal information, I can attest to that at times, or allowing others to disrespect your space or feelings, essentially not protecting your own well-being and needs effectively. Signs of bad boundaries are always saying yes, being a people pleaser, oversharing, feeling responsible for others' emotions. Oh my gosh, fuck, the Lord is talking to me. Okay. Difficulty setting limits, being easily manipulated, feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, not respecting others' boundaries. I'm learning some about myself this morning. So we know, of course, always saying yes means that you're being a people pleaser. I never made the association with oversharing your own personal information, especially too quickly, as having bad boundaries. So since I've been telling a whole lot of my business, and as of late, even though I know God needs me to be open and transparent at times, because I'm not the Christian that talk about God and brought me in my wrong way, But there have been a few times lately I've shared things with people, and then it's like, why did you say that? Like, why? Girl, I'm going to need you to put a cap on it at some point. Like, stop. Like, you're sharing too much. I was getting that feeling. So now with reading this, it's safe to say that was the Holy Spirit and letting me know, like, you're sharing too much, or I'm sharing too much with the wrong person or the wrong people. Because everyone can handle your transparency. Not even on a bad note. Like, oh, because they're going to run and tell your business. But, I don't know, it's weird. It's like, you ever, maybe it was you, or you witnessed with people, it's like, so-and-so may have shared something with you about their past or what they're currently going through, and now it becomes such a burden to you. I don't know, it just seems so weird, but that's crossing boundaries. That's having bad boundaries, not setting proper boundaries. I never considered that. Being easily manipulated. I don't know what's going on. Like, these are tongue twisters. I don't know why. Being easily manipulated. I never made that association either. Letting others take advantage of your kindness or your willingness to help them. Did you guys make that association? Because I definitely did not. Okay, we have a comment from one of our listeners that said, and some folk hold things over you. Absolutely. I remember Pastor Steph saying that, you know, there are some people who feel so compelled to, now that I'm about to say this, you know, Pastor Steph has brought up, there's some parents who feel so compelled to share things with their children. And it's like, why am I sharing with you something that God has already delivered me from? He's already given me the conviction. He's delivered me from it. He's forgiven me. And now I'm going to share this with you because you my child and you should know. And now you throw this back up in my face. So now I'm facing all this shame all over again. Now I'm drinking all over again. Now this is, no. We got boundaries. I'm the parent. You're the child. You don't need to know everything about me. I need to know everything about you because I'm the parent and you're the child. Even as an adult child, once your child becomes an adult, they are now certain boundaries. You know, Pastor Steph was asking me some questions last night, and I was like, okay, mom. And she's like, what? I could ask. And in one realm, it's like, okay, I understand why she's asking. In another realm, I'm like, okay, hello, I am an adult. Why are you asking me these questions as if I'm 15? But because me and Pastor Steph have just always had this dope relationship, it never really throws me when she asks me questions that are quote-unquote personal. I may not want to answer them. I may not answer them all the time at that moment, which is rare. But there are those moments I don't answer or don't want to answer. But it never really throws me because of the relationship that has always ensured that we have. So I definitely, you know, it doesn't throw me in that aspect. But even when your children get older, you know, you have to set some boundaries. The child has to set some boundaries. The parent has to understand and respect said boundaries. So, yes, these were some good points as far as bad boundaries. Never really considered on that end until I just gave the example. Insecurity is another way to flag poor spiritual health. And of course, we know insecurity is a poor way of feeling about ourselves, feeling of uncertainty, fear, and inadequacy that can very likely cause anxiety about relationship goals and the ability to handle situations. So your insecurity can now cause you to not only have poor spiritual health, but poor mental health. Because again, the ability to handle situations, that's mental health. There's always a situation you're going to have to handle throughout your day. Even if it's not strenuous, even if it's not a huge situation, each day is filled with situations. So if you don't know how to handle that, you've now tapped into having poor traits in more than one area of your health. Signs of constant self-doubt, coping strategies that practice self-compassion. Oh, I am horrible with that a lot of the time. I am horrible Okay, we have to make sure that we're on point with this. And we only have a couple more of these pointers that are given to us. Discord. Discord is a great way of playing games. I'm sorry. It tricked me, y'all. What's happening? Discord, the Bible speaks on those who, I believe, is in the verse we talk about those who are not making it to the kingdom, those who sow discord amongst the brethren, meaning those who cause disagreements between people, those who cause conflict and hostility. I love using that hostility word a lot. Amongst people. Y'all know somebody like that. Somebody who always has to stir up drama amongst the group. That is a sign of your poor spiritual health. Anger, anxiety, negative self-talk. Let's tap into that one. Negative self-talk. The act of having critical, pessimistic, or overly harsh intentional thoughts about yourself. Importantly, an inner voice that constantly puts you down or focuses on your flaws, often leading to feelings of low self-esteem and anxiety. So this negative talk easily feeds into your insecurity, which is what we just went over. Negative talk to yourself can create negative emotions like guilt, shame, and inadequacy. You'll have thoughts of, I'm not good enough. I always mess up. I'm going to fail. Nobody likes me. Oh, I can relate to this. I can relate to this. Cognitive distortion. Often negative self-talk involves overgeneralization, assuming one negative event applies to all situations. Exaggerating potential negative outcomes and blaming yourself for things outside your control. And a lot of times we think that we love to have control over our dysfunctions. We don't. That's why it's called a dysfunction. There is no strategy to our dysfunction. It just doesn't work like that. A racing mind at bedtime is another way you can identify poor spiritual health. Let's see what they say about that. Racing mind at bedtime. That can be caused by different things. That can be caused by stress, anxiety, too much coffee or caffeine, fear of sleep. Why would you feel sleeping? But there are a whole lot of underlying issues to this. Sometimes a racing mind can result from a body that's not ready for bed. Why aren't you ready for bed? I know for me, sometimes, like, if I know I ain't do everything I was supposed to do for the day, like, I remember working in restaurants, and I would come home, go to bed, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, jump up out of my sleep, like, oh, I ain't give them their refill, or, oh, I didn't give them their to-go box. It's like, okay, you're home. The restaurant is closed and people done left. Whatever refill they didn't get, whatever to-go box they didn't get, they just had to live without. They will be all right. But it just showed how much I was working and how focused I was on making my money, because I'm making my money. And it just showed how I didn't turn it off. So I may have clocked out, but my mind didn't turn off from work. And bedtime is supposed to be our time of relaxation. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, we are supposed to be able to relax. What are you allowing to taunt you throughout your day and throughout your night, that even when you go to lay your head on that pillow, you're not at peace. And a lot of the time, it's not because of outside people and things. A lot of the time, it has to do with you. What did you do or not do that now has you all discombobulated when you're supposed to be resting? Pastor Steph has gone over many health tips that focus on the importance of sleep. God has highlighted the amount of hours we need to get at least bare minimum 7 hours of sleep. Now, I know I'm going to talk because I ain't lay down this morning until about almost 3 o'clock, but, you know, unlike my once upon a time life, that's not a consistent thing. I've gotten a little better, but I could be getting a whole lot better. Okay, so we have to make sure we are focusing on making sure we're at peace when it's time to go to bed. Okay, we're going to do one more tip that they're given. What are they talking about? Okay, another marker of having poor spiritual health. We went over the shame. We went over the guilt. The last thing is the uncertainty. So let's close this out with the uncertainty, even though we've kind of went over that already. Okay, state of lack of uncertainty or sureness about an event or an outcome. It can also refer to a situation where it's difficult to describe the current state of affairs or predict a future outcome. Okay, I believe it's safe to say that your spiritual health is poor when you're uncertain about yourself and what God has you doing. And again, what is your mind focused on? You know, the word focus is a word that's highlighted for me. One of the words that's highlighted for me. So it's like, why don't I know? Why am I unsure? Am I spending enough time with God? Am I spending enough time reading His Word? Am I spending enough time making room for God to come in and Jesus to let me know how I can do this better, how I can do that better? We got to be better at these things, guys, okay? So when we speak on being able to identify our poor spiritual health, we need to make sure that we are staying away from resentment, staying away from fear, staying away from embarrassment, staying away from avoidance, staying away from poor boundaries, staying away from insecurity, staying away from discord, staying away from anger, staying away from anxiety, staying away from negative talk, staying away from a racing mind, especially at bedtime. You do yourself such a, like, bedtime is a gift. But it's like the Sabbath. It's like that's my time that's just for me to rest. Well, Sabbath is for God also. You know, bedtime is like, oh, I get to turn the world off, everything off, and just chillax. You know what's funny? It's like, why do we like to have a drink before bed? Because we insert these things into our bodies so we can chill. And that's a whole other health tip. Okay? Make sure we're staying away from shame, making sure we're staying away from guilt, and making sure we're staying away from uncertainty. Okay? So let's make sure that we are staying on point with those things and we're staying away from these markers so that we can be on the other side of spiritual health, and that's having a healthy, spiritually healthy life. Okay? Now, let's get into some of this celebrity news we got going on. Now, I don't know, as Pastor Kim, it came across my mind yesterday, and I heard Pastor Kim say, these people losing their mind. These these celebrities, as we say in the street, they are bugged. They are bugged. Oh, my goodness. I came across, I don't know what it is with Instagram lately. But yesterday, Holy Spirit was just on point, pointing out things for us to speak on. I came across the post where this couple made a video on why they have a secular-free home. And, of course, if you're a millennial and younger, you're a little more up to date with the secular music. Now, I have, my youngest sister is a Gen Z. So because of her a lot of the time, and because of my niece who's an alpha, I know some of these songs. Other than that, I know nothing. It's almost like I'm a Gen Y. You know, Generation Y, baby boomers, they pretty much stick to a lot of the classic music, old school R&B, jazz, old school rap, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, Slick Rick. You know, it's like those of us, me included, who just stick to watching a lot of the classic TV shows, syndicated ones, you know, Martin, Fresh Prince, you know. Because a lot of these shows that's coming out now are just like, what? Like, someone really sat and wrote this and got funds to produce this? This is crazy. That's how the music is now. But it is so, oh my goodness, demonic is not even, I don't even know if there's a more direct term for it. But it is crazy. So when I was watching this content that they posted, which was really, really, really cute. I really liked the way they did it. They just showed how, you know, they're in the house doing regular couple things. They're in the house, they're playing games. They were in there playing Connect Four, listening to an Ariana Grande song and heard something crazy. They were in there listening to, who is it? Megan Thee Stallion and Future while they were working out and heard some crazy lyrics. And then they were somewhere in their home, looked like they were on their laptop working, listening to Young Thug and Gunna, and heard another set of crazy lyrics. And each time they like looked at each other like, wait, what? And that's what happened. You know, there have been plenty of times where I've been listening to music while I'm cleaning or doing something else. And I probably heard this song a dozen times, and it wasn't until that time I was like, wait, what did they say? Or the Holy Spirit has had some, like, no, pay attention to this. I'll never forget one night I was in the kitchen cleaning. I had the song on repeat, Hot Fashion by, oh my goodness, who does that song? I forgot his name. I forgot the rapper's name. Hot Fashion. Loved the song. And it wasn't until about the 80th time it was on repeat. I felt so airy. I was like, oh no. And not only did I stop the song, I took it off my playlist. Like, that's how crazy I felt after God started pointing some things out. So I'm going to read a couple of lines from each song where the lyrics were just like, wait, what? Okay, so in this particular content, they started with listening to Ariana Grande, her song, Side to Side, featuring Nicki Minaj. And it's crazy because on YouTube, this video has 2.2 billion hits. Roddy Ricch, thank you. Thank you. Roddy Ricch did Hot Fashion. Don't go listen to it. because it's really eerie and creepy. If the Lord, I want to say if he convicts you. But, oh my gosh. Okay, so we have, wait, let me go back. I lost the screen. Okay, so we have the song Side to Side by Ariana Grande, which there has been a whole lot of talk about her as of late again when it comes to her being rich and demonic, especially after this whole Wicked movie that just came out starring her. A few lines from the song. Been trying to hide it. Baby, what's it gonna hurt if they don't know? Making everybody think that we solo. Just as long as you know you got me. And boy, I got ya. Guess tonight I'm making deals with the devil. And I know what's gonna get me in trouble. Just as long as you know you got me. So that's just a few lines. Then they were listening to Megan Thee Stallion featuring Future. Now, a lot of you may be familiar with Megan Thee Stallion because was it last year, year before last, there was this whole huge thing with her and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting these celebrities' names? What's the name of the rapper that she was dealing with and he shot her in the foot and now he's doing time? Hold on. Let me pull this up because I don't want a lot of people to be lost. I mean, because this content is still going to have some effect, but if you are a little familiar with Tory Lanez, rapper Tory Lanez is now sentenced to 10 years for shooting Megan Thee Stallion, and there are a whole lot of conspiracy theories behind that situation. He didn't really do it. This is really what they're putting in the media, but really they're mad because he decided to go independent and he started making a whole lot of money. And of course, the powers that be in the music industry ain't trying to have it. And oh, maybe that's what we're talking about. They're not trying to have it. So they will try to, you know, knock you off with whatever crimes you've actually committed or what they can put on you. That's one of the main conspiracy theories for this situation. But nonetheless, he's been convicted, and he now has to do a 10-year bid for shooting her in the foot. We did a whole pray for them. I believe it was 2 years ago. A whole pray for them with this, and it was just a whole big mess. So needless to say, Megan Thee Stallion, the rapper who got shot in the foot, and there's been a whole lot going on about her as well, especially her video to where she did a diss track to Nicki Minaj's husband or her son's father, whomever he is, because there's so much about that situation as well. And there's been a whole lot of talk about how demonic that video was. I couldn't really read a few lines because this song is so explicit. You know how, like, when you listen to the old school edited version of stuff and they wouldn't necessarily have a radio version, they would just bleep out the words. This whole song would just be bleep. That's how many curses are in this song. So the main line, again, this song is called Pressurelicious, which... the quality of music is declining. First you had Bootylicious by Destiny's Child. Now you got Pressurelicious. And the main line in this one that was brought up was, hold up, I'm going to put my demon in her veins for sure. Now, this song is mainly about having sex, getting money, and look and fly. That's the mission of the lyrics that I read when I was reading them last night. Who the devil met? Okay, I'm back. Now, I don't know why you would want someone to put their demon in your veins, but these are the lyrics that at least the millennials and the younger generation are following behind. Because if you like the song and you're learning the words, you're saying these words along with the song. Or even if you're not listening to the song at that point, and you just happen to sing it or recite it, these are the lyrics you're reciting. Why? Like, at what point of the writing process, and we have with the men today, which is great, Pastor KL, Brother Aisley, they're musicians. So they know the process of writing songs, composing. At what point during the song composing and writing process do these lyrics just make sense? And when you're in the booth, you just... Like, that was just one of the things I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning you sitting down with your paper and pen, or if you're writing your lyrics in your phone, you wrote this down and then you said this out loud and it still made sense. Gotcha. Okay. Then the couple was listening to a song called Solid by Young Thug and Gunna featuring Drake. A lot of people know of Drake. Rapper started out with Lil Wayne and just rose to high stardom. Did a few songs with Rihanna. He used to date, what's her name? The tennis girl, Serena Williams. Isn't that crazy? Yes, he used to date Serena Williams. A couple of lines from this song. Revving the engine, city dependent, I gotta finish it. I want opinions, she want a demon. I'm a peep, but a player not poor. I've been thinking about selling my soul. Why? So you got Ariana Grande in her song talking about, guess tonight I'm making deals with the devil and I know it's going to get me in trouble. Just as long as you know you got me. Now, I don't know who you think going to have your back after you have sold your soul to the devil outside of you going back to Jesus and asking him for his help, but hey. And you got the other one talking about he putting demons in the veins. Then you got the other one talking about, I want opinions, she want a demon, I've been thinking about selling my soul. Like, what are we talking about? And a lot of the times, like, I remember years ago in the 90s, I remember hearing comedians make jokes about R&B songs that featured rappers, and the rapper's verse had nothing to do with the song. And it's like, okay, well, what did shooting him in the head have to do with him being in love with the girl? What does that have to do? And that's kind of like what I was thinking also when I was reading these lyrics, especially the two rap lyrics. Like, how did this fit in? Why did this fit in? I don't know. Before we go any further, let's pull up our gentlemen. Good morning, Brother Ainsley.
Hey, good morning, my sister. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm coming along. I'm doing all right. Coming along.
Good. Now, Brother Ainsley, you're a musician.
Yeah, I try to be at times, every once in a while.
You are. You have been
I try to do a little something.
You know you're a good musician. You have been the only musician who I can sing and you can actually follow behind me while singing. That's a good musician. Because everybody can
do that.
That is a talent. Everybody can
do that. True that. Yeah.
Right. Now, with that being said, What do you think about these lyrics that's in these songs?
I think the same way you do. I'm like when you write, who writing this stuff, what was the motivating factor? It's like, obviously, there's someone who has, I have to say it like this, who ain't got no church training, upbringing whatsoever, or even worse, they don't have any type of discernment, or nothing is tugging at their heart to say, you know, why I got to be so vulgar? Why I have to say stuff like this? You know, I mean, as a, I guess you want, somebody want to call himself an artist or a lyricist, you know, I could say maybe you want to stretch or, you know, make something more controversial so that it, you know, it brings attention and yada, yada, yada. But something to me, maybe because of my church upbringing, there's nothing I would want to try to do that talking about I'm having anything to do with Satan or a demon. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? Are you really want to toy with that world? I mean, that's like straight demonic. If you're inviting that satanic stuff into your space, I mean, it's a straight satanic. You got to call it. It is what it is, you know. And at least back in the day, things were, as you said before, you know, things weren't explicit. It was said like you understood what they're talking about. But nowadays, everything is just so explicit, it's so vulgar, and I honestly can't listen to it. And what gets to me all the time with a lot of these rap, I can't understand what they're saying, first of all. That's what's turning me off, most of them. I can't understand it. And I might catch a phrase every once in a while, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and it catches you. But, you know, how the enemy... Let me shut up. I don't want to keep running off. But yeah, I think the lyrics is it's hard to believe somebody sat down and say, "Well, I want to write a song. I want to accept Satan, the demon, in my life, so I can whatever situation it is." It just seems unfathomable that somebody would think to sit there. You know, you talking about somebody who needs Jesus? Mm-hmm. Anybody who could sit down and write that and say, I want to put some music to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, crazy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Ainsley. Let's hear what Pastor K.O. thinks about Steve lyrics. Good morning, Pastor K.O.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be with you once again. I loved you yesterday, and I love you even more today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you. How you feeling?
I'm all right. We got snow in Alabama, baby. People are losing their mind.
Oh, my goodness. I can.
The world has stopped at Alabama.
Oh. Listen, when I heard it, I was bugged out as if I was down there. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, and it's sticking. It ain't just snow. It's sticking.
Oh, wow. So y'all got it worse than us because I was in really
yeah,
quick make, like that.
No, we making snowballs.
Y'all can keep that down there. Y'all hold that for us. So, Pastor Kale, you are a singer. If you were handed these lyrics to sing, what would be your reaction?
Nah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I mean, well, I don't know. How much money were they paying me? Hold on. Was it just for a track? No, but I couldn't do it to put my name out there. But I'm going to mess you and Angelia up. So while I am in disagreement with those lyrics, we have been doing those kind of lyrics. We just have not been saying the devil. You know, we have not been selling our soul. I remember a song, and correct me if I'm wrong, y'all. I think it was Shirley Murdock who sang As We Lay. Is that not a devil song? You with somebody else's husband, got to get him out the house before my husband come home, you know, as we lay. Is that, you might as well say I'm giving my soul to the devil. I think another group said somebody rocking, knocking the boots. If that ain't the devil. If that ain't the devil. And then after that, they say, give me some good love. No, we not loving. You knocking the boots. As the world says now, we smashing. All we doing is smashing. So because I don't say the devil, and because I'm not giving up my soul and I'm not speaking it, isn't these other lyrics speaking the devil? As we lay? What that mean?
I agree, and I believe Brother Ainsley touched on that real quick. He said, you know, it's now it's just so vulgar. It's they're not being discreet at all, you know, or like you said, okay, so I'm writing as I'm laying, I'm singing, knocking the boots, so they know I'm talking about sleeping with somebody, but I ain't got to now say the actual body part names and all that. You get the gist of what I'm saying now, all the body part. When I was reading these rap lyrics, I was just like, I know what it is to be in a studio session. I can't understand the comfortability level of me as a female. Most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, the engineer is a man. I'm a female in this booth talking about all, it's like audio porn. So we got the visual porn. This is like audio porn. And I'm just saying these things freely, but then I want you to respect me. God forbid you call me the B word.
Shantice, now you're a little younger. Time, I want you to go and look up this song. And this was before my time. I don't know if it was before my parents' time, but the song was My Ding-a-Ling. And it says, won't you play with my ding-a-ling? That was the lyric of the song. You know what I mean? That was the song. So we've been doing this for a long time, you know, and it had not been censored. I mean, so if grandma's time, their jam was My Ding-a-Ling, this is surely the jam of our children.
you're right. And, you know, I actually came across a post a month or so ago. And it was Cece Winans, and she was speaking. I don't know if it was at a church. It may have been a church. And she was speaking on how Whitney Houston, everyone knew how her and B.B. Winans, her brother B.B. Winans and Whitney Houston were close. And Whitney Houston asked her to sing on the I'm Every Woman track. And she said, but once she heard the lyric, I can cast the spell, she said, oh, no, I'm not singing that song.
Yeah, I heard
and
that.
She said she kind of caught a little slack, like, oh, it's just a song. I mean, she's like, no. She said, I'm not a singer. I'm a minister who happens to know how to sing. I cannot sing that. She said, so when she got approached to do Count On Me, that was on the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack, when she got approached to do that song with Whitney Houston and she read the lyrics, she said, okay, I can get with this. And that's why she was on that track. But she said, no, I'm not singing. And it, once again, just highlighted again for those who actually care about what they're singing. For us in the streets, they say you dragging it, meaning okay, you just taking this way too serious. It's not all that serious, but it is serious because you have to understand you are what you rap about. The same way you are what you eat, you are what you sing and what you rap about. So we have to really take the time to understand these lyrics. And going back to what you were saying, Brother Ainsley, you said, of course, with the rappers, you can't really understand what they're saying. And, of course. But there's a lot of times I go listen to a song, even if it's a song I already know, and God will lead me to sit and watch the lyrics as they're going. Especially if you have Apple Music. I'm sure they have it on Android as well. Like if you're listening to Google Play or anything. But sit and just read the lyrics as the song is going. And it's like, oh, that's
what
they're saying. And it's not bad.
But you know, as brother KL said, you know, these lyrics, you know, as you bring it out, makes me think about it even more. So, these lyrics and stuff has been out. It's something like this has been going on for a long, long time. some time ago, pulled up. It must have been a song back from, I think it was even prior to My Ding-a-Ling. It was a woman, I can't recall her name. And so she was talking, she can hang with the people, what they're talking about today is how vulgar it was. But this is from back in way, way back in the day. But you can tell when the recording, it sounds grainy. And like they said, this was a hit back in the day and whatnot. I was like, I never heard of it before. Apparently, it was one of those underground hits and stuff like that. You know, and the mom and pop used to make their own records and stuff like that. And it was very vulgar. But
right,
now you going back that far.
Who was more vulgar than Betty Wright?
Oh,
night
that's what
is
known for. Yeah, now that you bring it out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Y'all ever heard that song, I Be Stroking? That's another song. That's another. Sean T, go look it up. I'm not lying to you. That is a song.
I
Be Stroking.
Oh, okay. Here's another one. It's a Juicy Fruit.
Right.
I can't leak you anywhere. Come on now.
Exactly.
That was a bit of part of the line.
Wait. Who sang that song? Have you ever been kissed from head to toe, right down to your navel? I know y'all know that song. I know y'all know that song.
That's not
the devil?
Well, yeah. Wait. Y'all just made me think about many moons ago, a few years ago, being in service, and Pastor Steph told us, because again, Pastor Steph's congregation is nothing but millennials and younger. And Pastor Steph said to us that when we are with our mates, not our boyfriends, not our girlfriends, our husbands and wives, we should not be listening to R. Kelly. We should not be listening to, and it was a song in particular, of course, but we all know how R.
That's
Kelly
how, That's
works.
How you get members in the church, because you're going to make some babies.
Real quick. Pastor KL, it's the Whispers. Have you ever been kissed from head to toe?
Okay. Thank you.
A listener just sent that in. Yes, but she, and of course, I was the ringleader in here. Oh my goodness, what was the R. Kelly song? It was also 12 play album. And I was like, wait, so you mean to tell me if I'm with my husband, this is my husband, now I already have to wait to have sex, okay? Now I'm with my husband, now you're going to tell me I can't have this song playing in the background? And she's like, no, you have to pay attention to the content of the song. He's not talking about engaging in that with your husband or your wife. This is just like free-for-all activity that's going on. And I was like, well, I don't understand. I don't see what the problem with it is. Now, especially after listening to you gentlemen, it's like, dang it. You always got to mess it up. You have to pay attention.
Tell Pastor Steph it depends on the revelation you get from it.
Oh my goodness, it was one of the songs, because I mean, needless to say, all of R. Kelly songs popular. Bump and Grind.
Mm-hmm.
Bump and Grind, Like You're Ready, Your Body's Calling. Those are just three of the songs off of his 12-play album. And it's like, well, what's wrong with that if you're with your mate? Like, this is yours. But, again, you have to pay attention to what's being put out there.
Yeah, because then you just get caught up in the moment, and then after a while, you're going to be singing Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye. But once the sex is over, and once that becomes the primary example of your relationship, after a while, that thing sizzles down, and it's time to kiss and say goodbye. you know, I had to meet here today. There's so many things I want to say, you know. And he knows she's going to argue, so he says, please don't stop me till I'm through. This is something I hate to do.
Oh, my goodness.
You done okay, messed up and got two musicians on with this topic, so you ain't gonna never get
that. I didn't even think that when I was taking the notes and stuff for it. It wasn't until I was about to, well, when I was talking about it, and then I looked at the names. I'm like, oh, wait, we have Brother Angel and Pastor K.O. on. Goodness gracious.
If you had been on here, you'd have had to do Jesus Wept or something. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness! Well, we have to make sure we are really paying attention to what God is pointing out, because again, God is unveiling a whole lot. Like really quick, before we go on to the next, and we just Brother Al just joined us before we go on to the next story. There was a singing challenge about 2 years ago going around of Beyonce's riff for Drunken Love. And this riff became really popular. And I was getting on everybody's nerve in the house doing this riff. And as soon as I would start, oh, shut up. It was, right? And I was practicing this riff for about a week or two. And it wasn't until one time I was by myself and I was doing this riff, and the Holy Spirit was like, stop, that's demonic. That's a demonic call. Stop doing it. God is going to point things out to you. It's up to you to either pay attention or do like the switch tip he told us this week and tell him to shut up and hit the snooze button and turn the alarm off. But he is going to put you on to what you're listening to so that you understand the choice of what you're making. The choice that you're making as to what you listen to. Okay, so we had we organized it. They had the Golden Globes Sunday. And, you know, the Golden Globes is all about the actors and the actresses getting their acknowledgement for the sitcoms and the movies that they play in. And there was a joke that was put out. So Vicki Glaser, a comedian, she was the host of this year's Golden Globe Awards. And, of course, it took place in Beverly Hills, California. And she made a joke about the people who were being thanked by the winners. So, you know, of course, they used to always talk about this, especially at the, like, BET Awards and Soul Train Awards, everything. It's like, oh, you know, I like to first give honor to God, and then and after a while, it's okay, you gave honor to God, but then the lyrics were just like the lyrics we just got finished speaking about. Well, she took a little poll on the show, and 1 second, I have to take a photo of this. So it was titled Globe Leaders. So cast and crew were the main group of people that were thanked when the winners got up to give their acceptance speeches. Moms were the second one. And then she said, God, the creator of the universe. So cast and crew got 11 points. So cast and crew, there were 11 times they were thanked. Moms were thanked 3 times. God was acknowledged 0 times. And Mario Lopez, I'm not sure which actor actress got up and gave the acceptance speech and thanked Mario Lopez. Everybody knows who that is. He played on Saved by the Bell Slater, the one who danced and all that extra stuff. He was acknowledged once. So there's been a whole lot of talk about her making jokes in regards to God is not getting acknowledged. So she said, of course, in this godless town, this isn't a surprise. So it's like you could kind of take it both ways as she's saying, well, of course, God isn't going to get the acknowledgement. But because you're not really putting any extra emphasis on that to back up why God should be acknowledged, it was really taken as like you're trying to make a jab at God. And see, this is why you have to do your own research as well, because I came across an Instagram post and they showed a clip of this comedian putting this poll up and cracking this joke. And then the caption read, but one day later, the Hollywood sign got caught on fire in that mass fire that took place in California. And then when I did my own reading, one had nothing to do with the other. It was not the next day, because the Golden Globe was on Sunday. I believe that fire took place Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. And the Hollywood sign did not burn up. So this is why you have to do your own reading as well. But nonetheless, we have comedians who are now publicly poking fun at the fact that God is not being acknowledged. So let's pull up Brother Al this morning. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Got me running, but everything is everything.
Good, good, good. Were you able to hear about the jokes that were said at the Golden Globes in regards to the Lord not being acknowledged?
No, I heard some of it. I was some of the kids outside. I heard some of it. I did hear you saying about the Golden Globes, so maybe you go to somebody else first and come back to me.
Oh,
if that's okay.
All right. Okay, so let's go to Brother Ainsley. Brother Ainsley, what do you think? Do you think they're putting too much on it, or do you think this is something that needs some type of attention?
I think it needs some attention. I didn't watch it. I was totally unaware of all of this, but I'm not surprised because, you know, that's just seeing how things are going. Like the music, you know, being so explicit, it's the same way on that front. And film and movies and stuff like that. You know, I mean, if God's not in your life, you know, you ain't, are you going to give him thanks to somebody you don't know? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised. It's a shame, though. You would think, you know, more different than that, you know. But I'm not surprised, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor K.O., do you think they're putting too much on it, or this is something that needs some attention?
It needs to be attention. It needs to have some attention. First of all, you need to understand as the artist, as the person, that you can do nothing without Christ. You know, God is in the midst of all your stuff. Even when you're doing wrong, he's still keeping you. You know, he's still keeping you to hope that you turn yourself around. You know, I look at it from another aspect. You know, suppose I have a child out here, and the mother really don't want me to see the child, but I keep on sending gifts, and I keep on paying my child support. I keep on doing everything I'm trying to do to get my child's attention. Because of me, you still eating. Because of me, you still have a roof over your head. Even though your mother tells you, you know, he's a deadbeat dad, no. She won't tell you who I am. You know, and that's the problem. Because of God, you eat. Because of God, you are surviving. Because of God, you are living the way that you live. You know, because you have not acknowledged it does not mean that God has given up on you.
Nice. Thank you. So, Brother Al, they had a female comedian by the name of Nikki Glaser who cracked a joke that out of all of the people who the winners acknowledged, you know, I think my mom, I think my cast and crew, God was never acknowledged, not one time. That we threw off the first part of the night. Because when she made this joke, this was like halfway through the show. So do you think that the people are putting too much on us, or do you think this needs some type of attention?
Oh no, definitely they need to be brought to people's attention. You know, it don't surprise me because again, as you can see, they're trying to take God out of the school where they had tried to, and they stopped certain things. So, you know, it don't surprise me. And you know, it's funny that she made it as a joke, but she probably was serious and made it as a joke. But it definitely needs to be attention because people need to realize that, hey, you exist, and you, all these things are happening for you because of the man upstairs, and he needs to be acknowledged. You know, I see people going in and acknowledge so many different people. I like to thank this person for doing this. I like, well, you know what? If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a mother. You wouldn't have had a father that made you. So, no, I think it deserves all the attention it needs to get.
Absolutely. I agree. And as you gentlemen were speaking, to think of it, now, I used to watch a lot of award shows, excuse me, pretty much, you know, BET Awards, Soul Train, Grammys. I didn't really watch, like, the Emmys or Golden Globes, anything like that, but definitely, like, the music ones I will watch. And I have to honestly say, I've never really heard anyone outside of the Black community think that. Now, I'm not saying that they did it, but from what I witnessed, and the Golden Globe, as we know, is predominantly on the other side of the fence. That's one of the reasons why, for me, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't so flabbergasted. Like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? No one thanks God. No one acknowledges God. Because really, that's done a lot more in our culture than the opposite. Again, I can't say it's never done. But that's, and, well, it, that's what's displayed a lot more. You know, if you watch it, not just what you would find on YouTube or now social media, but if you actually watch the award shows now and you watch them go up and accept their awards. I haven't really witnessed the other side really give any credit to anyone outside of the cast. I haven't really even heard them talk about their mama. It's been all about who the director is and the writer and the supporting cast and, you know, so on and so forth. So I don't know, but I agree. There definitely needs to be, you know, some acknowledgement.
I agree with you.
Here.
Yeah, I agree with you, because but all the time I don't watch it, because a lot of stuff, it don't interest me. You know,
right.
That's why the Golden Globe, a lot of stuff, it don't interest me. You know, most of the time they're not really including people of our color involved in it. So I'm not really that interested in it. So that's why I really don't watch it. You know, so. By the movies they think is the best, I think it's one of the worst. So I ain't interested in it. But you're right, I don't really call, you know, off the top of my head. And maybe it's our culture, you know, because, you know, for example, before we eat, we say a little prayer, you know, say thank God for this food, about to, you know, eat. Yeah, yeah, it's a part of our upbringing and stuff like that. And so it feel like, you know, so in the bigger things of life, we're going to thank God for it. So, it's not part of our culture. It's not part of their culture. You would still think on that stage, you would thank God. Now, come on now. Without him, you come up that stage and die like that. You know what I'm saying? If that's his will. So you're right. I don't recall really seeing it, but then again, I ain't really looking for it. Watching them shows like that, you know, back in the day. Now I pay a little bit more attention. But you're right. Most of the time, I don't really hear them say it. Yeah.
Right. And again, like you gentlemen said, it definitely needs some attention. Another thing that caught my attention, there was a movie that came out in September of last year, just this past September, called The Front Room. And it's starring Brandy Norwood. Everybody know who Brandy is. Marisha,
what's the name of the movie?
The Front Room, I believe it is.
Okay.
Yes, and The Front Room. It came out this past September. I remember seeing, like, I think maybe once, like the trailer, but never really watched the trailer. Well, this is a horror/thriller movie. And it's about Brandy, who's married to a man from the other side of the fence, and his father passes away. And his father's last wish is for him to take in his stepmother. So he takes in the stepmother, who is a lot older, to live with him and his wife, Brandy, who is pregnant. And she comes into the home, and she's a Christian. She comes into the home, and now it's just this whole disarray and this whole uproar because she is so antagonistic and just nasty, a lot of racial slurs she's spewing out at the wife, just going crazy. Come to find out, the woman is possessed. But the woman is not possessed, the stepmother, she's not possessed by a demon. She's possessed by the Holy Spirit. And now she's trying to get the baby. Because if you were ever into horror movies, the main goal, whenever it entails a family, they always target the children. The only time they went after the parents was to kill them and get the parents out the way so that they can get to the children, so that they can get the children possessed and get them to do all of the evil stuff. So that's what this stepmother is trying to do. But the twist is, this is not a demon. This is supposed to be the Holy Spirit that got her doing all this craziness. So it's a big uproar that's going on now. And I came across a post where a woman did her piece. If you know Instagram, you know a lot of times you get up to 60 seconds, really, to say what you need to say. The way she broke this down was so full of class, and it was so sophisticated. She made her points, pointed out what needed to be pointed out, but it's like, is this really what we're resulting to now? So we've gone over the lyrics. We've gone over the fact that, just like with the lyrics of the songs, poking fun at God and Jesus, unfortunately, is not something new. It's not something authentic. But now you got to where people in horror movies are not possessed by demons anymore. They're not possessed by the Holy Spirit, which is now portraying the Holy Spirit to be something demonic or someone demonic. Brother Angley, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm totally unfamiliar with that. It's completely new to me. But, listen, my church, you know, that's one thing you don't want to do is blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That is mm-hmm. one thing. My Bible scholar, Brother Pastor K.A., you can tell me, that's one thing you can't recover from. And, you know, but, you know, this is how the enemy works. It's to be so subtle in his approach and stuff like that. Like we said, with the lyrics and stuff like that, most of the time people listen, they're more listening to the music. And because of the music, the lyrics easily, I have to say, like, it penetrates, it becomes more acceptable. You know, it takes the sting out. It's more. It becomes more in writing with the music playing behind it and stuff like that. But that's how the enemy works. It's a little more cunning, you know. But, you know, this just seems like, okay, we're watching one horror movie. Okay, this is just another form of a horror movie, you know. But when you're actually talking about, you know, to the Holy Spirit, is you possessed by the Holy Spirit and that kind of matter. It's like the enemy is this, like, this just kind of shows you the enemy is getting even, he's finding even more ways to try to do what he do. This just shows you what we got. We as believers, we need to be more on our grind and to confront this and let people know and make it known, this is wrong. This is completely wrong. Let people know what the real Holy Spirit is really about. You know, I was totally unfamiliar with this. I never heard this before. I'm really shocked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brother Al, what do you think about the concept of this movie?
I think they're all crazy, you know, and they better recognize the power of God. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things. People don't recognize the power. You know, the power of God, the power of the tongue. you know, and speaking against things you don't know about and things like that, they're going to cause a big issue. And they need to get it together. And just like Angie would say, you know, the enemy is on his job 24/7, looking for ways on how he can get in there and disrupt things, how he can get people's mind and thinking something totally different than what it is. So, you know, people better get it together, man, and start reading and understanding the Lord's word, or it's going to be some serious, serious issues, some problems, I should say.
Yes. Yes. Pastor KL, what do you think about the concept of this movie that people are no longer possessed by demons now? They have moved over to the Holy Spirit.
It's just crazy. You know, one would say where they're just actors mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and I've heard comedians talk about how they'll never play a woman, they'll never get in the dress. And a lot of that is because of their manhood, is because of their pride. You know, when God said that, I wish that you be hot or cold, because lukewarm, I can't do nothing with you lukewarm. And you have to choose ye this day who you will serve. You know, and what people don't realize is just because I got the money and I'm famous now, sometimes your sin passes through your lineage, meaning that, that your children will go through because of some of the decisions that you made. So because you don't feel the sting, don't mean that the sting is gone. It'll go to your lineage. And then what do you do then?
I was looking at the word possess real quick. And it's keep in one's possession. Or it's a demon or spirit, especially an evil one, to have complete power over and be manifested through their speech or actions. And we understand biblically that when we're baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit, we now have that 24-hour protection guide, where if we want to, we have the Holy Spirit, because God's mission and goal is never to control us, unlike the devil. And that's why even that word possessed helps to differentiate an evil spirit from the Holy Spirit. Because even with this 24/7 guide, God still gives us the free will to make the choice as if I'm going to heed to the alarm or if I'm going to turn the alarm off and see for myself and do what I want to do. Versus the concept of being possessed by a demon is I have absolutely no control. They have complete control of my speech, the way I move, what I do, what I think, so on and so forth. And they're the ones that's dictating everything. And it's like, so y'all have run out of creativity so much to the point and then it made me think about, this is why everybody needs to read for themselves. All of these church people who read, I'm sorry, who just go to church and just listen. I wonder how many of them, even if they didn't watch it, but maybe heard about this, and now they're all twisted because they don't know who the Holy Spirit really is. Brother Al, do you think a lot of church people would possibly be kind of bobbleheaded over this?
I'm sorry. Come back to me. I'm taking care of something. I'm so sorry.
No problem. Pastor KL, do you think this could kind of trip some church people up?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to trip them up. Because church people ain't necessarily godly people. They just go to church. You know, and they think that, you know, going to church, I got to cover it and don't have to know nothing. You know, but there's always a weakest link wherever you go. Even when you have a demon-possessed person in the church, and the pastor is trying to cast out the demon, the pastor always says, if you're not out of faith and if you're not as strong as you think you are, you need to leave. Because that demon got to go somewhere. If I cast it out of you, it's just not flying in the midst of the air. It has to go somewhere. So a lot of folks in church is not as strong as they think they are. They know one or two Bible verses, and they think those verses can go with everything in their life. and it cannot. So, yeah, it's tripping them up. And remember, actors make it believable.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job, to make it believable. You know, so it becomes a point where this can be true. And maybe my pastor's not teaching me this.
Good point. Brother Ainsley, what do you think? Do you think the concept of this movie may even have some church people lift up?
So I think it may have some people, church folks,
have them all confused about who the Holy Spirit really is, what his job is, the difference between the Holy Spirit and the...
Well, like Brother Kale said, if you got some of those church folks, people just go to church on, you know, on their day, they sing their song, they like to watch the praise and worship, sing a song, they get an emotional high, you know, they get an emotional lift from the pastor, the speaker, and if they're more in for the emotion of it, they're gonna be confused with this because. Did you gotta know? This ain't no plaything. This spiritual warfare is no plaything. And and if you're going to pray just for the emotional up and down, you know, it will trip you up. You should know what the Holy Spirit is about. A true believer. There's a difference between someone going to church and a true believer. You know better. Now, if a true believer goes to church, It's not for an emotional high. It's for spiritual uplifting. It's for spiritual growth and stuff like that. So basically, if somebody's going to church and not getting any spiritual growth, they probably will get tripped up by this movie. But any true believer is going to spot this out. They're going to be discernment because it's going to be right there. Oh, heck no. No. The blood of Jesus, heck no. Mm-mm. No, so... A real believer is going to spot this out. Anyone who just go to church and that's a sign right there. If they don't have any kind of question thing, if they feel kind of confused about it, I got to wonder about your church. I'll go that far. That if you can't figure that out, I got to wonder about your church and your spiritual, your life and whatnot. Yeah, so...
Absolutely. I agree. Brother Al, are you available now?
Yeah, yes, I'm here. So I've been so busy this morning. But, I was listening in, and like you say, I think one of the problems is people don't know, you know, people here. And I was one of those, you know, being in church, and I hear it all the time, the Holy Spirit, and don't know what the Holy Spirit really is or what the Holy Spirit's job is. You know, that's the advocate that God sent to us when he sent his son. You know, Jesus asked for that for us. You know, hey, Dad, I need some more protection from my people as I come home. So a lot of people don't know what the Holy Spirit's job is, how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And those are things that need to be taught in the church as well. You know, because you hear it all the time, the Holy Spirit, or this, and nobody really honestly know what it is, what the Holy Spirit is, what is his job. So it's definitely something that needs to be taught in the churches as well as people need to study and read God's book, read the Bible, see what it tells you. So that's very important.
Right. Well, while we have you on, Brother Al, really quickly, what would you say to the only actor so far that I'm familiar with in this movie is Brandy. Well, what would you say to these actors to depict these characters or play in these movies that now send this type of message that is completely contrary to the Word of God?
I would say to them that you better be careful because, again, when you draw God people away, that's your fault. There's millions of people watching this movie, you know, and they're looking at you. They may look up to you as an actor like, oh, wow, this is a great actor. And they look at this movie and be like, oh, so that's what that means. So now what you just did was draw away a whole people away from God, which you're going to be accountable for. So you're going to be accountable for the amount of people that you drew away from God. And you have to be careful. Some people, they just do it for the money. You know, with me doing acting, I don't take any part. You know, people be like, yeah, I want you to do this part. Okay, what is it about? What character am I playing? This and that. You have to be careful. You have to put your foot down and set boundaries. I heard Denzel Washington say that, which is my favorite actor. He's like, yo, you know, you got to be able to sit back and say, nah, I'm not doing that. You got to be willing to do it. So those actors that are taking those parts and doing the craziness, keep in mind, you will be held accountable for drawing God's people away.
Thank you. Brother Ainsley, what would you say to these actors and actresses who are taking these roles that help to depict the exact opposite of who God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is, who they are?
I encourage all of them who think about doing those kind of roles. I would say, listen, you know, the spirit world is real. Maybe I got approached to say, as there's somebody who's not church and inclined or anything like that. But let them know, first of all, the spirit world is truly real. There is a good and evil with this and whatnot. And I approach it from that point. You know, approach them for giving them some knowledge about what they're really getting into. It's one thing, you know, if you don't know, you're ignorant, you just think, oh, okay, it's just an acting role, yada, yada, yada. I don't see nothing wrong with it. But when you know better, you do better. So I just approach and say, listen, I suppose that this is really what you do makes a difference. The spirit world, what you're about to depict, is you're really, really giving ammunition, if you will, to a certain side. Do you really want to do that? You know, I would approach it from that point of view. Now, somebody then from that point, and now I really can't see somebody who knows better and still wants to do this, then they got to answer for themselves. They, you know, if you want to do something contrary to what the spirit is saying to do, then they got to answer for that. So I would approach, you know, somebody, who, you know, a non-believer, like let them know, first of all, give them some knowledge to say, you know, this is really real, and give them some examples. Approach it like you would some anybody else. But, you know, because you got to give them a talent and to do something, you know, you want to use that talent in a proper way, you know. So I would approach it that way.
Nice. I like that as well. Thank you. Pastor KL, what would you say to these actors and actresses that are take on these roles?
Well, just going off of what Brother Al said, you have to understand that the blood is on your hands. So if these people decide to go out and commit suicide or go out and do all this crazy stuff because they've seen the superb job you've done, then the blood is on your hands, and this is what you decided to do. You know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. We all know that when we take these roles, we take it on the precedent of how much money we're going to make. But it also says, what separates me from the love of God? So will the money separate you from who you are in God, from who God told you that you need to be? You know, you have to put all these things in proper perspective and don't be clouded by the opportunity. Because if you stand up for God, God will stand up in you.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being on with us this morning. Like Pastor Steph always says, taking us into another thought-provoking weekend. We pray that you have an enjoyable, warm day today. Thank you, guys.
All right. You too. You take care. Take care, gentlemen.
All right, you too. Okay. Have a good day.
Okay, let's get to our benediction, Ephesians 3:17-19, Amplified Version, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. And again, that is Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 in the Amplified Version. Ooh. Thanking God for, you know, a lot of people, and Pastor Steph brings this up all the time, a lot of people love to talk about how evil social media is, and there is. There's a lot of craziness that's posted. There's a lot of wickedness that's posted. But Brother Angie kept bringing up the word discernment. If you stay in God, you have the discernment that you need. You know, the street saying, let the speak of fish and spit out the bones. You know what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to. And even the demonic things that are on there, is that something God needs you to pay attention to so that you can assist him with bringing light to it so that other people can understand what's really being put out there? As it was said, this stuff is not, it's not just entertainment anymore. It's put out there under the guise of quote-unquote entertainment. But these are facts. These are facts. It is making me wait. See? It's making me think about another memory verse that our church is challenged to remember. Just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. And that's Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. The devil is putting things out there for you to see what he's doing. And then when one of God's people brings light to it, now we dragging it. That's the I'm joking part. Again, dragging it means, oh, you over-exaggerating. That's not what it really is. No, this is what it really is. There are no more metaphors put out. There are no more hypotheticals put out. There's no more reading between the lines that's put out. God is allowing all of us, believers and non-believers, to have the ability to see things for what they really are. Are you going to choose to turn a blind eye to it, or are you going to see it for what it really is? So, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. The devil tries to act like he's your friend. And this is what he's exposing you to. He's exposing you more and more to him. And when you're not paying attention to God, you get sucked up more and more into his content, whether it's social media posts, whether it's lyrics to a song, whether it's movies or TV shows, whatever it is. And then when God brings light to it, the devil comes like, no, 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 that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. See how he is just so stupid and slow. How he just helps to bring God's word to life. He don't even realize it. He don't even realize it. That, again, the discernment helps us to see that you are so against God and so bad at being against God that even in your defiance, you are still proving God to be right. I mean, he's always going to be proven to be right because he's God. But you're still proving him to be right. Hello. And we do this. We do this. One of the things that came to mind, because I was really contemplating on whether or not I should watch this video. I was so tired when I came across this piece of content that was talking about the movie. Again, I only heard about the movie once, so I completely forgot about it. So it was like I was introduced to it all over again for the first time. I was so... I kept going to God, like, should I watch it? Should I watch it? Say, God, I'm tired. But if I lay down now, if I get up early, should I watch it? Because God has stripped me from horror movies back around, like, October of 2017. I don't watch horror movies the way I used to. I was a straight fanatic when it came to horror movies. I could break down the whole franchise of Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Friday the 13th. I was just watching like it was nothing. He has to strip me because he let me see. Well, he let Pastor Steph see how that was getting to me, and she had to bring me to the light because I was just oblivious to how that was affecting my day-to-day. But I was like, God, should I watch this so that I can really talk about it? And after one of the times I asked him, he said, that's you. Like, that's what you do. That's what y'all do. You know, those of us who are his, when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's the seal that God gives us that proves that we belong to him. And even with the Holy Spirit, what do we still choose to do a lot of the time? Act demonic. So do we act like we're possessed? We do. We do. So we can sit here and really get upset about what's being put out there. But we also have to, again, going back to the spiritual health, one of the traits that go along with understanding if you are healthy when it comes to being spiritual is that self-reflective time. Are you having that one-on-one time so that God can let you see who you are, so that God can expose your rebellion to you, so that he can correct those mistakes? We went over that yesterday morning. We fell right into it again today. So are we walking around with the Holy Spirit residing inside of us, but yet we're acting as though we're possessed? We have to be real careful. We may not have written the script, but we're playing a role. Holy Spirit be dropping bars, y'all. We have to be real careful about how we're representing and presenting the Holy Spirit to those who don't know or choose not to know. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Catch us live every single weekday morning, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Block Talk Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and allowing me to spend time with you first thing in the morning. Please make sure you go to Facebook, go to Cokes for Christian Life page, and let Pastor Steph know you're thinking about her, you're praying for her, you miss her. Thank God nothing is crazy going on with her health. She's a little under the weather. Thanking God for her due diligence that she has continued to set the tone so that in her absence she can just relax and be reassured that God still has this ship going the way he needs it to go. Okay? Make sure that you stay focused on God throughout today. Make sure you stay warm. Okay? And make sure that you're meditating on his word so that you can focus on things that are above, not on things that are here on the earth, because they only serve as a distraction. Okay, until Monday, God spares, where it's Relationship Monday, Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. We will be back with you, God spares. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. I love you. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't forget, it's your girl, Shanti, guest host. Thank you guys so much again for need to spend time with you. When you hit Pastor Steph up to let her know you're praying for her, let her know how you think I did. I won't beat you up, I promise. Let her know. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. Bye.